What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Obviously, big news being handed down by the NFL today. They are forgoing the NFL supplemental draft and therefore denying the eligibility for Brennan Sorsby to be in it. And leaving him with very slim options moving forward. To help us break it all down, let's head out to the Wise Heart Right, We Make It Right call, Kyle Wright Hotline. You can find him over on Preferred Walk-On, doing a show over there. Our good friend Max Chadwick joining us now. Max, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're doing all right. Obviously, big news being handed out today. I think catching a lot of people, at least by somewhat surprise, the NFL actually making the decision to say no supplemental draft for Brennan Sorsby, denying his application for it, saying we're not doing the supplemental draft as a whole. Were you caught off guard and surprised by that today as well?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, it felt like a foregone conclusion that there will be a supplemental draft, and Sorsby will be the first pick, I think, in, what, 7 years for the supplemental draft, too. So I was very surprised by it. But honestly, when you if you read the letter that the NFL sent to Brennan Sorsby, it makes sense. It really does. I mean, it doesn't seem like he and his team did a good job of really giving the NFL the proper resources to make a decision on this, or even the proper time to make a decision on this. I mean, the deadline is like 3 days from now, and they just got their stuff in now. So I think Sorsby himself mishandled this spectacularly by doing what he did, but also he and his agents and his lawyers, I think they did a really poor job as well of preparing for all possible outcomes and making sure he could, you know, get the best situation for himself too.
Max, I'm not sure your depth on the personality of Brennan Sorsby, but is there anything there that you've heard of, that you've experienced, that gives any sort of insight into the character? He is obviously outside of just, you know, the gambling and everything that happened, but just the type of player he is as he walks around a building in a college locker room.
I don't know anything personally, honestly, so I can't really speak too much to that, but I mean, I can tell you through the situation that it felt like not a lot of accountability was taken by Brennan Sorsby. It felt like they went into full defense mode immediately, which I can understand to an extent, but it seemed like they went right from attacking the NCAA to immediately trying to get to the supplemental draft too. And again, I don't think he or his team handled this really well at all, which is why he's in this position he's in right now. And the NFL even said in the letter that there's kind of a lack of accountability from he and his team too. So that's a big reason why Sorsby is where he is right now.
Ultimately, obviously, there's a lot of things floating around about, you know, what's actually written inside of the CBA. We don't need a deep dive into that. But, I mean, do you think this is a decision that the NFL ultimately is able to hold up and not allow him to enter into the league?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, the NFL, I mean, my co-host Dalton Wasserman, we were talking about it earlier today, and he kind of made a good point. It's like, this almost feels like a pseudo one-year suspension by the NFL for this. And honestly, like, he's lucky it's only that. I mean, at this point, like, really betting on your own team and what he was doing is such a huge, massive no-no. I mean, we've seen, and even in other sports, guys get lifetime bans from the sport for doing that. I mean, look at a guy like Pete Rose, for example, who still can't make the Hall of Fame in baseball because he was betting on his own team as a manager. And Sorsby was doing that. So, yeah, it does feel like this is kind of like a one-year suspension from the NFL. And because of the unique circumstances with this, why he's ineligible for college football, I think it'll hold up. I don't know if he's able to win this case, and especially because he didn't give the NFL apparently proper resources to make a decision on this case either. Yeah, again, like I said before, it's just been really poorly handled by Sorsby and his team.
Let's play with that then. This does hold up. He's not able to go into the NFL via supplemental draft this year. What is the route that if you were Brendan Sorsby, you would choose? Is it train for an offseason, try to get into the UFL, try to get into the CFL? Which route would you go down?
Yeah, maybe it's one of those two leagues. I mean, that could be something that works out for him. I think the UFL draft in January, so he still would have to sit out almost the entire regular football season in order to do that. I think the most likely route for him is probably to sit out an entire year, train for the draft, and then enter the 2027 NFL draft and just see where he goes after a whole year off, basically what will be a really unique situation. So that's probably what he'll do. But like I said, I don't know where teams will take him now. I mean, he was already, in my opinion, like a late day two, early day three type of prospect, even just after this year. Now with the whole gambling situation and now the fact that he's going to have a whole year off of football, I don't know where teams are going to value him if they really do value him at all in the NFL draft.
So, I mean, you kind of alluded to what you just thought he was worth in general. If you were a team sitting in the supplemental draft, if it does end up that he's able to go into it at some point this year, what is the best you'd be willing to put a bid on to say, let me go out and get a guy with all of the off-the-field troubles that obviously come along attached to him?
Probably a day three pick, honestly. I think it was a little overblown by the media just how good of a prospect Brendan Sorsby was. Like, I did not think he was a first-round type of talent really at all, like some other people were saying. So I don't think it'll at all, especially with the whole gambling situation now, it'll definitely not be a first-round pick. I would not spend a day two pick on it either, second or third rounder. I mean, maybe fourth or fifth round is probably the highest I would go for Brendan Sorsby. Now, I can say there probably will be a team that's willing to go a little bit higher because it is kind of like a silent auction, the supplemental draft, how it works. Like, teams will submit bids for a player. So he will, I think some team will get a little desperate and maybe spend a third-round pick on him. But if I was a team, I would not spend more than a fourth or fifth rounder on Brendan Sorsby.
And again, Max Chadwick, preferred walk-on with us here on the hotline. So, I mean, comparatively, toss him into a range for me. Like, we're looking at the 2027 quarterback class. Obviously, still a whole season to play out. But the way that it would look right now, where does he kind of fall into the range among what is such a expected-to-be loaded quarterback class?
Yeah, I think he's definitely right now. I mean, after, like, just assuming, like, without even taking into account that he's going to sit out an entire year, he probably was more like a late second-round type of prospect. And I was even assuming that he would have a whole year of college football to prove that he could be that good, if not better, than that. But, yeah, I think he's firmly behind a lot of guys next year's class, like Arch Manning and Dante Moore and Julian Sain and C.J. Carr and Drew Messmaker, Darian Mensah, I mean, Trinidad Chambla, Sam Levitt, Jaden Maiava. I mean, all these guys are going to have an opportunity to surpass Brendan Sorsby. Even if I like Sorsby more than, you know, one or two of those guys, they still have a whole season to play, whereas Sorsby is going to be sitting on his couch watching the rest of them.
If Sorsby's able to go through and enter the draft, where do the Browns kind of rank in a mutual fit for where you would like to see him for the best chance to succeed inside of the NFL?
It somewhat makes sense because the Browns are a quarterback needy team. At the same time, I think would introduce a whole new act to what is a complete circus at quarterback right now for Cleveland. I personally wouldn't do it if I was Cleveland. I think you already have the Deshaun Watson situation. You already have, you know, the lightning rod that is Shedeur Sanders. You already have Dylan Gabriel there, too. You just drafted Talen Green as well. I just think it'll be way too many bodies in that quarterback room. I don't think Brendan Sorsby is a franchise savior by any means. I think the Browns are better off just kind of tanking this year and hoping to get you know, a Julian Thain or a Dante Moore or an Arch Manning next year. That's how I would go about it. I think taking Brendan Sorsby and introducing him to that already, I can't even call it loaded. It's just a very, you know, a quarterback room that already has a lot of names in there. I don't know if I would do that for Cleveland, honestly. So I get it because they need a quarterback, and I would understand it if they took him, but they already have so much going on, and I just think introducing Sorsby and his whole situation into what is already a circus of a quarterback room, I think it would just be, honestly, a disaster for Cleveland, in my opinion.
All right, Max, let me get your opinion on the 2027 class. The way too early opinion without the season playing out. I mean, you talk about Sorsby not being a franchise savior. How many of those guys do you project out to be in this upcoming class?
Yeah, I think there's right now I really like three quarterbacks in next year's draft. Like, I think three guys I feel really, really good about to be potential franchise quarterbacks. It's Arch Manning, it's Dante Moore, and it's still Julian Thain. I'm very high on Julian Thain, the Ohio State quarterback. Now, all three of them have to prove a little bit more, obviously, this year in order to become that. But I'm a huge fan of all three of those guys, and I think all three of those guys could have been maybe the number two overall pick-ish in this past draft if they declared or if they were eligible in Julian Sayin's case for it, too. So, that's how I kind of view it right now. There's plenty of other guys that I'm really excited about to watch that could enter that conversation, like C.J. Carr, like Drew Messmaker and Darian Mensah, and Trinidad Chambliss and guys like that, maybe even Sam Leavitt if he really bounces back to LSU. But those three of Arch Manning, Dante Moore, and Julian Thain, those three are a cut above, I think, of everyone else right now.
Is there a quarterback class of recent memory that you can look at this year and try to make a comparison to, or is this year entirely in itself unique?
I think someone like in recent memory, I don't know if I would say it's as good. I mean, currently, I don't know if I would say it's as good as that 2024 class that we had with Caleb Williams and Drake May and Jaden Daniels. Like, I don't think we have that level of talent, like, especially like going into the year. I know Jaden Daniels kind of not came out of nowhere, but of course he had that Heisman Trophy winning year and became the number two overall pick and became the great quarterback that we know he is now. But we knew that Caleb Williams and Drake May were studs going into the year. I don't know if I would put anyone quite on that level going into the year. But I think it's certainly better than the last two classes that we had at quarterback, especially going into the season, whether it be, you know, the Cam Ward class of 2025 or the Fernando Mendoza class of 2026. So that's how I kind of look at it right now. Maybe you could compare it a little bit to the 2023 year with Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. That's probably a relatively comparable one, too. But, yeah, it's definitely a good one. I just don't think it's as, you know, unbelievable as the 2024 one was going into the year, and then, of course, ended up being with six quarterbacks going in the top 12 picks, I believe.
All right, I have to ask you about Ohio State while we're here. You take a look at the top national championship contenders. Where would the Buckeyes rank for you on that list?
Pretty high. I don't know if I would say they're, like, one of the favorite. I mean, they are one of the favorites if you're going to say, like, five or six teams. But they're more like a borderline top five team, in my opinion, maybe right outside at number six, if you ask me right now. But, I mean, they're really good. I just mentioned before, Julian Thain, I think, is the best quarterback in college football right now. I think he's one of the most disrespected players I can remember in college football. You still have the best player in the country in Jeremiah Smith at wide receiver. I actually love the offensive line going into next year. I actually had it as my number one offensive line in the nation going into next year, too. Now, the big question marks, and you got a great running back, too, in Bo Jackson. I can't wait to see what he does in his sophomore year. Big question marks for me is just you lost so much defensive talent. Now, at the same time, we have said that year after year after year, and Ohio State just seems to find first-round picks every single year, even after losing first-round picks every single year. So maybe that'll happen again this year, but they did lose a lot of talent from that defense. But you do have a great D coordinator in Matt Patricia. You do have some talent still on that defense. I actually really like the secondary that Ohio State has, but that front seven for Ohio State, I do have some question marks with losses they had and the players that they have right now too.
All right, Jeremiah Smith, obviously, I mean, an absolute ridiculous talent, going to be a bona fide top pick. Is there another level for him to reach this upcoming season, or do you think we've kind of seen the college football plateau for him?
I struggle to even say that. I mean, he's just so unbelievably good. It's hard to envision how he can get better. But I mean, from everything I've heard in Columbus, he is the hardest worker in the building. Like, I've heard stories about how they literally had to lock the doors on him in the facility because he wanted to get in there at all hours of the day, more than I think was allowed under NCAA guidelines, honestly. So we know this guy is not only the generational type of receiver, but also the work ethic to be a generational type of receiver. And when you combine the talent and the work ethic that he has, that's why you're seeing, you know, the greatest high school receiver probably of all time, turning into one of the greatest receivers in college football of all time, turning into one of the greatest draft prospect receivers of all time. And who's to say he won't end up being one of the greatest receivers we've ever seen in NFL history as well. Like, I think he is truly a special talent, and he could go down as, like I said, a once in a lifetime type of talent that we're seeing right now with Jeremiah Smith.
All right, Max, before I let you go, I want to ask you one more question about the 2027 class, the early outlook of it. Obviously, we talked about the quarterbacks, but even talking to a guy like Jeremiah Smith, I mean, among that top, the quarterbacks get so much love, but I mean, how saturated with quarterbacks do we expect that top end of the first round to be, and how many other guys find their way into that conversation outside the position?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question because, you know, quarterback, it's unlike other sports, right? Whereas, you know, I'm actually watching the NBA draft right now, and, you know, you really in the NBA draft, you're drafting who's the best basketball player, like regardless of position, right? Mm-hmm. Football is different. We're, you know, positions are created differently, and the quality is not the same in football at all. Like, I think, you know, PFF has done studies before where a quarterback is like four times more valuable than any other position on the field. So because of that, you're always going to see quarterbacks, you know, get boosted up in the process probably better than they actually are as football players. So that's the tough part for a guy like Jeremiah Smith and even a guy like Leonard Moore, the corner from Notre Dame, or Colin Simmons, the edge rusher from Texas, who I think those are the three best players in the draft regardless of position. But because of quarterbacks, you know, they might fall to the top five, maybe outside of the top five because of all the quarterbacks in the class. But, yeah, I think there's definitely a lot of quarterbacks to know in next year's draft, which could push some other really talented players down the board a little bit, which I think would make a lot of teams picking in the middle of the first round next year very, very happy to get a stud talent that usually most other drafts would go top five, top 10. Maybe we see them go like more top 15, top 20 because of how many quarterbacks there could be this year.
All right, Max, always appreciate you setting aside the time. Always good to talk to you. And as we get ready and ramped up for college football season, hopefully we'll be talking again sometime soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Yep, absolutely. Max Chadwick, preferred walk-on with us there on the Wise Heart Right, We Make It Right, Call Kyle Wright Hotline. Obviously some good stuff breaking down on college football, but so much surrounding the Brendan Sorsby conversation that I want to get into. And you guys can chime in, 216-474-0092. When it comes to the Browns, did the NFL actually potentially save them from themselves by making the decision that they're making right now? That's coming your way in about 5 minutes. It's Overtime with Jake Volnick with you guys on The Fan. Just got done talking to Max Chadwick of Preferred Walk-On. If you missed it, 923thefan.com. It'll be up over there as well. You miss any moment in our show, use the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app powered by Integrated Restoration, your local experts in water, fire, and storm disaster restoration. Obviously, really good stuff out of Max that we're going to break down here. I just think the Brendan Sorsby conversation is incredibly interesting. I mean, how?
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
We aren't supposed to, read even deeper than what we're being shown, really on the just outside looking in. Obviously, we get the denial from the NFL. This is going to be, you know, hey, he's not allowed into the conversation. He's not allowed to make it through. And Max seems to think this is something that, you know, could very well hold. And I think this is probably the most fascinating part of the conversation, is whether or not it can. I mean, there's so many things swirling around right now that, I mean, lead you to think that this is a tough one for the NFL to probably win in a legal setting and actually be able to, I mean, keep Brendan Sorsby out of the conversation, keep him out of a supplemental draft, make sure that a supplemental draft doesn't happen. But we're obviously in, I mean, relatively unprecedented territory as well. We don't have the same level of conversation around guys that have bet on their own teams, what the NFL has taken, and certainly not a case that has gone as public as this case has gone. So it's a tough read. But I think part of this from a Browns conversation is interesting, too. Obviously, the NFL making this decision has just gone and made it incredibly easy for every team to kind of take away the idea of drafting Brendan Sorsby, what you have to spend on him, any way that you have to go about it. So it almost feels like there's a situation here. And so much of what we talked about yesterday with the idea that you could trade Shador, obviously, you know, Brendan Sorsby is a part of that conversation. It almost feels like if the Browns had gone down that route, and a lot of the reporting is the Browns were not interested in Sorsby, had kind of gone out on him. But I mean, I said it yesterday as well. I'm sure they were going to attend the pro day. I think being completely out on Sorsby is something that almost none of the 32 NFL teams is a place they would have found themselves. No matter what you think of him, like Max told us, he had him as a, you know, pretty late second, early third round type of pick. Did not have him very highly regarded. Had him behind a handful of quarterbacks to start this year. Had he played college football, that he would have had to come out and show, a lot more. But you still turn around and I think have that conversation that, hey, if I could get him at a, you know, fourth round pick, if I could get him at a fifth round pick, even, you know, if I can get him at a third round pick, but guarantee that I have him right now and don't have to battle with other teams, make sure I'm drafted at the top of the round. That's a conversation that NFL teams are going to have. And anybody not putting in, a seventh round bid at the very least on him and hoping that everybody else was out on him, you would have been a fool. Right? It's what the supplemental draft is there for. This idea to go out and actually, nail a player that wouldn't be in that round in the first place. Nail a player that you wouldn't have the opportunity to go and draft. And it just feels like you're walking into a situation where you have all of the assets you could possibly ask for. You have, everything at your disposal to go and land a player that wouldn't rather be there. You would have had to take in the opportunity. And the Browns would have been in that boat. I feel that Andrew Berry probably would have pushed himself to put in some type of bid. And had the Browns won, again, it feels like the NFL almost doing you a favor. Because I'm interested in Brendan Sorsby. I think that the Browns should have put in a bid. But I also don't think that the timeline matches up. And I think that you have a much better pathway to probably better quarterbacks through just playing out the season. Whether that be with Shador Sanders or Deshaun Watson. I mean, the chances that the Browns are drafting outside of the top 10, I wouldn't put great chances on it. Vegas certainly wouldn't put great chances on it. You get the Browns with a bottom 10 record. I'm sure you are not getting beautiful odds for Vegas to be able to land that. You are probably, really going against the house in terms of what you're going to be paid out. You're just not going to get a handsome, ransom for it. So your likelihood of, even drafting what is going to be a top, say, five quarterback in this class probably shoots up through the moon. Again, the teams are talking about you're in competition with. Directly, there's about three teams, four teams if you include the Steelers, of teams you know you're going to be in direct competition, almost certainly are going to be going after a quarterback. You know the Cardinals are probably going to be there. Carson Beck in the third round does not sound like a long-term answer. You know the Jets are probably going to be there with Geno Smith right now. The Dolphins, there's a decent shot, are going to be there with Malik Willis. Outside of those three other teams and, tossing the Steelers into the mix with Aaron Rodgers' retirement, you're pretty much sitting there with nothing but, going out on a whim. that, like, hey, maybe Atlanta decides they want slash need a quarterback. Maybe you turn around and say that, I don't know, CJ Stroud's not getting the job done in Houston. They want to take a reroll and a gamble on somebody else. Like, hey, there's those situations, Tampa Bay and Baker. But more than likely, there's not going to be a ton of teams, I mean, just jockeying for position to go out and take quarterbacks in the first round. A top 10 pick likely lands you one of the top, again, safely five quarterbacks, and that's just comparing it to the 2023 draft, or the 2024 draft, excuse me, where we had the Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and then we also see Michael Penix and J.J. McCarthy off the board. And listen, you're not looking for a repeat of Michael Penix or J.J. McCarthy. That's not a franchise-saving or a franchise-changing quarterback, not somebody who, at any point, we really feel is going to lead a team to a Super Bowl right now. But you're still in pretty good company of quarterbacks this year. And I think it's interesting to talk about the depth of that talent. Certainly the height, you know, Max mentioning the fact that, you know, Caleb Williams, Drake May, certainly to start a college season, were on a higher pedestal than any of the quarterbacks this year. But it's not always about the height of where you get there. You still have, you know, franchise level quarterbacks. You still have guys who are really good. Guys who for the Browns are probably worthy of throwing a first round pick at. I just feel like you're in a better scenario. And this is a situation that as many people want to sit there and tell you, oh, does it take the Browns out of drafting a quarterback in 27? It doesn't do that. If they got him the fourth round, you know, you can still take one. Sure, I mean, you can. There's a potential for it. But again, if we're talking about Brennan Sores being a redshirt type of year, the chances that you're going back into the well and drafting another quarterback without ever seeing him play a game and holding him to a relatively high regard, probably pretty low. Like, you'd be putting a lot of stake and a lot of claim into that player. And I just don't know that that was the best avenue forward for the Browns. Like, having more of a convoluted conversation, having a more difficult process to have to drive through, is not where I want to find this team that I think a lot of us feel is a quarterback away from being, I mean, at least a playoff team. Right, you go get good quarterback play, not even great, not amazing, but above average quarterback play. I think we can all see the pathway forward of this team finding, you know, something to get you towards a playoff position. Maybe not even get there, but having to be in the conversation with what they've built on the offense and what they've been able to maintain on the defense. I mean, you're knocking at the door. And Brennan Sorsby, again, you can't ignore the idea that you could get him for a cheap price, and he's worth taking a look at. So I just think that you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. You can't just ignore it, but you also probably don't want him to be the quarterback you're investing in, the guy that you're putting all the chips into the middle of the table for. So I think this is a little bit of a saving grace, and I don't think the Browns ultimately probably would have made the bid had they made one that ends up winning the Brennan Sorsby sweepstakes. But I just don't think that's a conversation that needs to be had. I mean, if that information gets out there, Brown's putting in a bid on a guy like Sorsby, again, it already kind of tosses away the idea of Shedeur Sanders. It puts it on the back foot. They obviously wouldn't think they have a franchise quarterback. They're openly admitting that. And it would only make this season feel like more of a formality than it actually is. I mean, you're stuck between, hey, I mean, potentially getting a better quarterback, but also announcing to your entire fan base that you clearly don't believe in either of the two guys that are sitting here. Despite Todd Monken's enthusiastic comments about he feels he has two starters in the room right now, you're continuously stuck with the idea that clearly Andrew Berry doesn't feel that way. He thinks you're already taking a quarterback in 27. You need to move on from the quarterbacks you have in the room, and you need to upgrade at the position. Again, even if that's the thought process we have, and I think many of us do, you're probably drafting a quarterback in 27. There is not an overwhelming belief on the guys that are currently sitting here. But I just don't know that's something I want to hear the organization.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green. And when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped mussel oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love!
And come out and openly admit and not have a way to deflect, not have a way to, in any way, kind of silence those critics, silence that conversation, and at least feed a lie and allow the season to play out. It is one of the few times I accept a lie being fed to me by the Cleveland Browns. Yeah, tell me you have quarterbacks in the room. If I get the opportunity to see Shador, even if you didn't believe it could happen, you give him the opportunity. You have to see that play out. And if he proves you right and he's not a franchise quarterback and you don't believe in it, well, then so be it. But in the, very unlikely circumstance that Shador does go out there and prove to be a guy that can lead a franchise, prove to be a guy that can win a ton of football games, that's a scenario that I want to see play out. It's a scenario that is basically your only step forward. And I don't know why you would want to cut that off. So, yeah, I think the NFL did kind of save the Browns in having to openly admit that at the very least. 216-474-0092. Do you feel the same way? The NFL potentially saving the Browns from themselves with the Brendan Sorsby decision today. Plus, coming up here in 5 minutes, just an overall conversation. The NFL, certainly hypocrisy and maybe just flat out wrong on denying Brendan Sorsby's application for the supplemental draft. Again, we'll break it down here around 8:40 on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. Get a Grip coming your way in about 18 minutes, as it usually does at 9 o'clock. But we're still talking a little bit about Brendan Sorsby, but you did hear Michael's update. Obviously, NBA draft well underway at the moment. First five picks off the board, pretty much in the order as expected. DeBanza, Peterson, Boozer, Wilson, Weigler, exactly what you're expecting. Just nothing of real interest, I think, happening at this point. Obviously, Cavs still like 24 picks away from actually having a pick to make. But yes, everything pretty much playing out per every single mock draft and expectation that we've looked at. So I would say right about now, with the combination, Michael, I think, agreed during the break. You brought it up. Definitely probably draft starts right about here. This is where things can actually change. So maybe something gets interesting from this point. But and the topic of Brendan Sorsby, again, Browns might have been saved by the NFL in this aspect. But I mentioned it immediately after our interview with Max that I thought very much so the most intriguing part of this entire story right now is on the idea that I don't know that this necessarily holds up. This isn't something that, is just a direct alignment with, there's no problem. The NFL will be perfectly fine with making it happen. From a lot of what's come out after this news, it sounds like there's about nothing written in the CBA that it gives the NFL pretty much the right to deny Brendan Sorsby from entering a supplemental draft. They obviously have full power themselves to decide not to hold a supplemental draft. But if you go from common practice in the way that they've acted so far, previously in the NFL, just from year to year, they've pretty much held a supplemental draft for just about anybody that would fall under the category of wasn't eligible before, is eligible now. Josh Gordon got that same type of treatment. Terrell Pryor got that same type of treatment. All of these instances, there's really been nobody denied of entering the supplemental draft, and now the NFL is making this stand to kind of essentially go against the idea that they're allowing somebody who gambled on the game to make it to their ranks by skipping out and going through this route. Now, Albert Breer of the MMQB was on earlier today with Afternoon Drive, and he gave us his reasoning as to why he thinks the NFL is making that decision.
In this case, it really almost brings the business structure of the league into question, in that, like, Brendan Sorsby literally has nowhere else to go. So do I think the NFL wanted to make a statement on gambling? Absolutely. I 100% believe that the NFL all along wanted to say, no, we will not allow this. I just thought the lawyers would tell Roger and whoever else, like, look, like, we're going to lose in court if we do this. Now, the flip side is, and I think this is something to watch, depending on how hard Sorsby wants to push. It wouldn't shock me if Sorsby does wind up getting, there is some sort of path created in for Sorsby, in that, like, I think maybe the NFL wants to make a statement here, but knows that, like, there's some legalities that are, that could wind up being problematic for them. I think also, in a way, it's to protect their relationships with all the companies that are making so much money off of.
So obviously Albert brings up the idea that this is a, you know, pretty much ploy to all of their major sports books that are partnered with the NFL that, hey, I mean, we're not going to let this happen either, because obviously the sports books don't want that, so the NFL doesn't want that. But this entire idea, and Albert's not the only one to bring it up, that, you know, this is likely just a stance made by the NFL that ultimately they'll lose in court, will be reversed, and a supplemental draft will happen anyway for Brendan Sorsby. Which kind of brings me to the whole purpose of why even do it in the first place. Like, again, the NFL is, I mean, the completely hypocritical party in this entire situation that, okay, well, you're sitting there taking money from the sports books, partnering with sports books, promoting gambling on every single aspect, and then you turn around and stand on your soapbox when all of a sudden a player has fallen down the rabbit hole of gambling. Listen, like, I do not rush to the defense of Brendan Sorsby in any way, shape, or form. What he did was obviously stupid. If he does have an addiction, I hope that he gets help. But you made the decision at the end of the day. You made a very dumb decision and one that should be penalized. But at the same time, I can't turn around and act like the NFL, I mean, doesn't just prefer to wash away a lot of the problems that happen around their players. When it comes to sexual assault, domestic violence, all of these other things, we watch, I mean, people be accused and charged of many of them and still have careers in the NFL, still be allowed to be drafted, still allowed to make a career off of this. Why gambling ends up being the one thing? I mean, it's clear to me as to why, but it's not a very moral reason. It's because one of those hurts the product of the NFL and hurts the amount of money they can make and actually challenges their pocketbooks. And one of them is a bad PR move that they can attempt to wash away and often do a good enough job at washing away and still have millions upon millions of people tuning in every single Sunday, Thursday, Monday, whatever day they want to put it on nowadays to tune in and watch these NFL games. So, again, I can't sit here and rush to the defense of the NFL either. Everybody wants to consider it just an immediate win. And, oh, look at the NFL standing up for what's right. Yeah, you can't circumnavigate the rules. It's like the NFL is not in the business of, you know, standing on what the moral high ground is in this situation. It never has been. The NFL is interested in what actually works for their pocketbooks and what makes them look good, but not in actually defending what is right in these situations. And again, like, I'm not going to sit here and act like the NFL has ever acted in a way that actually, I mean, aligns with that idea. There is no way. And then, by the way, you're in every single way, shape, and form seemingly to be in the wrong. Like, Albert seems pretty convinced on the fact that if this goes into a legal battle and Brendan Sorsby does push hard enough, that ultimately the NFL is not winning that case. They are not going to actually win in a court of law that Brendan Sorsby does not get to enter the supplemental draft and by rules of the CBA can't go through and actually, I mean, he's not subject to the rules that are happening right now in the players union because he's not actively in it. So you can't actively penalize him for something that is happening outside of it. And on the flip side, I mean, if you want to go down the other route, I just don't think there's a way to penalize him in the idea that you know, act as if he wasn't in the union and trying to penalize him outside of it because you didn't write it. The CBA does not include it. And the way you have acted previously, as we mentioned, has been to allow so many of these guys in. So, I mean, again, I'm not the biggest Brendan Sorsby believer or defender in the world. But I think when it comes to actually making the correct decision by the way the NFL has previously acted and what is written, the NFL has taken the complete wrong approach on this and are in the wrong and ultimately probably will be proven to be in the wrong. Like, so much of this ends up being for optics more than anything else. And if this is your best way of getting a pseudo one-year suspension set on Brendan Sorsby so he can't enter, you know, in any way this year's draft, you're still going to let him walk in 2027. You're not going to stop him from getting into the NFL. And at that point, the NFL is going to be actively rooting for a comeback story. They want a guy like that to succeed. Why? Because it brings more eyes to the sport, brings more people paying attention. And every question that is asked, the NFL has won the battle of, well, are people still going to watch? Yeah, people are still going to watch. That is the blatant reality of the National Football League inside of not only America, but pretty much the world at this point. Is that you can have outside controversy, cheating scandals, players betting and still being allowed to play, and people still tune into the games and don't worry about it. I mean, it is something that I think at least people claim has turned them away from the NBA at times, right? Oh, well, the games are fixed. I'm not watching that. It doesn't matter. Regular season has no impact. So many of these different things. The NFL has yet to face repercussions of that. But they did not play moral high ground. They did not play everybody's savior in this situation. The NFL did whatever saved face for them. They did what made them feel good and what saved their relationships and saved their pocketbooks. And ultimately, if this gets reversed, I think people are going to pretty much turn around and have the statement of, oh, well, the NFL tried to protect us from it, but here we go. It just gets flipped back around. There's no way this guy should be playing. It's like, by everything Albert Breer and Tom Pelissero and everybody else are saying, it feels like the NFL is so blatantly aware of the fact that this is going to happen. And at that point, like, why even make the fuss? Why make the stance other than to make yourself look good? 216-474-0092. Is the NFL in the wrong for denying Brendan Sorsby's application for the supplemental draft? Let's go out to the phones. Our good friend Thomas is in Shaker. What's going on, Thomas?
Hey, Jake. Hey, look, let me say this. When I heard the news that Brendan Sorsby was not able to come to the NFL draft, I cheered out my seat because I was sitting here, like, adamantly. I called this radio station, I called this channel, or this channel about 3-4 times a week. Mm-hmm. And I adamantly was avoiding the Browns because I was praying. Look, dude, I was praying the Browns would not find some way to take this guy. Like, I'm sorry, I don't want the headache. I just don't. I'm so sick of it. But on top of all of that, I just don't feel bad for the guy at all that he gambled on a game and then he's going to sit down for a year. You know, we talked to a fan who just watched his world champion closer or the one of the greatest closers of all time gamble on games against the Yankees allegedly. And I just don't want that as my quarterback. And then on top of that, he's out here suing the NFL because they won't let him play because it just comes off as entitled behavior. No, I don't want that guy. I don't want that guy on my team. I don't want that guy near my team. I'm sorry if there's, like, I know, I understand he's just gambling and whatever. He's going to play in the NFL, like you say, he's going to play next year. Mm-hmm. But I have no problem with them saying, hey, dude, sit down for a year. Because he deserves every single second he's going to sit down. Because he's entitled, and he should be in trouble for what he did. I'm sorry. I don't care. I don't want that boy on my team. That's just me. Thank you.
Yeah, and Thomas, I appreciate the call. Listen, I'm not going to disagree with the fact that, like, if you don't want him on the Browns, I understand the aspect of not wanting him on the Browns. And I mean, to your credit, I think that's a completely fair take, especially the quarterback room that we have right now. I also don't think he should be, you know, not reprimanded. I think there should have been a suspension waiting for him on the other side. I think even if he does get in, there's a suspension likely waiting for him on the other side in some capacity. But again, it's not whether or not he deserves to be punished. It's not whether or not what he did was wrong. And, like, again, I hate the comparison to Emmanuel Clase because the guy was spiking balls in the dirt to make a little extra bread and put his entire team at risk. That's not what Brendan Sorsby did. And we don't have a ton of situations to compare this to. I think it is, for the most part, a pretty rare circumstance that we watch a player gamble and not have actual impacts and implications on the game. But I also, it doesn't mean that I think the NFL is acting in good faith. It doesn't mean I think what they're doing is right. The bottom line is that the way they have acted should be that Brendan Sorsby should be allowed to enter the supplemental draft. He should have the opportunity to go play, even if there's a suspension waiting for him on the other side. Still makes the NFL wrong. And again, it is to stand on a moral high ground that they don't take at any point. Like, there are so many players around the league. I mean, how many players have we seen, you know, convicted of domestic violence that, I mean, sure, they'll face a suspension, but then are right back then there again. They don't get barred from the NFL. The one player we saw essentially get blackballed from the NFL was one of the first players that was heavily publicized in the domestic violence realm, and Ray Rice. Everything after that seemed to more so go by the wayside. And again, I mean, you're comparing two very bad things. All of this is not good, and it is a terrible place to have to make a comparison. But at the end of the day, like, again, the NFL is willing to employ and try to brush away a lot of the bad things that happen. Gambling should not be the one that is all of a sudden viewed as the massive negative. It is because it's the pocketbooks of the NFL. That's why they view it that way. But I would say in a regular world, every single day where you walk past somebody, you'd feel much worse about the person committing any sort of an allegation of sexual assault against them, an allegation of domestic violence, rather than somebody who, I mean, has gambled, and even though he hasn't, even somebody that has cheated their way along. I would still much rather be by the gambler. I would still much rather interact with that person on a daily basis and see that person employed rather than the other two. 216-474-0092. Do you feel that the NFL was wrong for denying Brendan Sorsby's application to the supplemental draft? Plus, coming up here in 5 minutes, we get to get a grip, as we always do, at 9 o'clock right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanzus and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.